the blue hymnals. So if you don't know what that is, it's a blue book in front of you on the back of the pew in front of you. So we'll have to do the songs that way. Okay, for those of you who are joining electronically, we are recording the message. Those of you who are joining electronically, get your kids close to the monitor. And for you kids that are here this morning, I'm not going to make you come down front, but pay attention. Now, I've got some verses of Scripture I want to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 9. But what I want to talk to you about is that God sees the heart. God sees the heart. Now, nowadays, you walk into places and people got they got a mask on. And you can't really tell if they're smiling, if they're sticking their tongue out at you, or what they're doing, you know, because you can't see their face. Well, even if they don't have a mask on their face, sometimes you still cannot really tell what's going on in the life of the person, can you? Because sometimes people wear a mask even when they're not wearing a physical mask, and you can't tell what's going on. But God can always see to the heart. Now, part of the problem about us not being able to see into the heart is that humans quite often will make decisions based on the physical appearance or the outward appearance of somebody or something. And Israel did the same thing. Israel asked for a king. Now, remember, God was their king, was he not? God was their king. But they decided when Samuel was the prophet, the Israelites were saying, you know, Samuel, your sons are not the best in the world. They get into trouble, and we're afraid they're going to be a problem. At least that was the excuse they were using. So Samuel, make us a king. Anoint a king for us. And Samuel was very upset about that, and he went to God, and God told Samuel, he said, they are not rejecting you, Samuel. They are rejecting me. Go ahead and anoint them a king and tell them this is what their king is going to be like. And God told them what the king was going to take advantage of them and all this kind of stuff. But there was a guy, and I think we've got the verse of Scripture actually now, so on the board. So go ahead, Donald. The verse of Scripture comes from 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeor. And it goes on to give the genealogy there. But it ends up by saying a mighty man of power, or that word could also be translated riches and wealth. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So we don't have a picture of what Saul actually looked like, but this description tells us that Saul would have been the Hollywood man. Saul would have been Facebook material. Saul would have been camera ready. He had his hair combed. He had perfect teeth. He was head and shoulders taller than anybody else around him. He stood out. And to the people, listen to me now, to the people, Saul was the man. And so they said, yeah, that's great. That's what we want. And so God told Samuel, anoint Saul king of Israel. And he served as king. But guess what? It didn't end too well. Because you see, God sees the heart, and God rejected Saul. Even though Saul looked the part, he looked kingly, he looked like he ought to be the one on the outside. But on the inside, he had rejected God. God rejected him. The dynasty of Saul ended with the death of Saul. The person God chose as king was David. And there will never cease to be a king reigning on the throne of David because Jesus Christ rules in the lineage and on the throne of David. God rejected Saul not because he was good looking, but because he didn't have a heart after God. So while we can't really see the thoughts and the intents of the heart, we can be led by the Spirit. Let me encourage you to spend time asking God to lead you to see more than what's on the outside, to see a little bit of what's on the inside. Now, Holly and Jennifer, them's got some things here for you guys. So some of you VBS, but I can't talk, age kids, can come on up real quick and get these things. Come on, guys. Come on. Don't be shy. I won't bite hard anyway.
These are for back to school, so I'm gonna give it to anybody that's in school. There's actually a prayer from us to y'all.
Trey's not scared. Come on, man. I won't bite you hard anyway. Here, take this back to some of them folks back that way. There's Amber and all them right there. Give them some. And even seniors can get stuff over here too. And since we have the overhead now, very good job, Donald. Thank you, man. I'll shut my laptop down. Protege, are you taking notes? Come on, Michael. Come on, Michael.
Okay, so we're not going as old school as we thought, but it is old school songs and hymns. So let's stand up all together and sing all three verses, Rock of Ages. And notice we have Miss Jan number two over here today playing for us. So wave to her.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wound inside which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. And the second, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I and the last. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Let me take a moment, turn around, blow a kiss to the person behind you and around you, let them know you missed them. Don't blow too far, that's right. But join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for your presence here amongst us today. You tell us that where two or three are gathered together, that you are there in the midst. So we thank you, Father, for your presence here today. We pray, Father, indeed for our schools, our teachers, administrators, and our students that will be either already are or will be going back to school this week. And we ask that you would give them a safe time and a prosperous year as they grow in your grace and knowledge. We pray for our nation, for the leaders at all levels of government, that you would give them wisdom and discernment, that they would be more concerned about your approval than their position in a political poll. Help us as your church to be all that you've called us to be, the salt and the light to the culture and to the world. May we not be as the world is, but may we be drastically different, not because we are so good, but because we are committed and given wholly, completely to you. We pray for first responders, that you would keep them safe. We ask that you would protect our military, and in all things, Lord, as individuals and corporately as your church, that we would honor and glorify you by the words of our mouths and the actions of our lives. We surrender and commit this time to you this morning, Father, that you would be glorified in everything. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
And again, I'm going to be nice and let you be seated today. Holly, I'm going to say it again because I was looking at this. I want this thing so bad. And it's a good thing she didn't bring the remote controller. You'd see it going up and down during Larry's sermon. But so I'm distracted by this. Anyway, sing with me together. You're sitting down, but sing out. Precious Lord. Smile.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Help me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
And the second,
when my way grows dear, precious Lord, linger. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
And now, from lead to lean, leaning on the everlasting arms, sing all three. Sing out or I ask you to stand.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
You have the list of the names of the servicemen there, and then our first responders on the next screen. Let's pray for those and others on your heart.
Sing it all together.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet.
You may be seated.
Title of the message today is Who's on Your Throne? Who's on your throne. I want to start off by doing something a little different, though, since I've got a few minutes extra. Thank you, Michael. I want to give you an opportunity. I know I'm hitting you with something you had no idea, but I want to give you an opportunity. If you have something you would like to give a testimony of real quick, that maybe God has impressed upon you, maybe you have learned over the course of these however many weeks since the pandemic started in March. If you have something you want to share with the church to give God some testimony and some glory, and Mike, I'm going to let you be like Phil Donahue and run around with a microphone if you want to, so the people that they'll be listening to this electronically can hear you if you have. So does anybody have anything, a word of testimony they would like to say? All right, Holly first.
I just would like to say our family has been completely blessed by this pandemic. I know that many have not and many have suffered, but my family has learned that it's okay to slow down. It's okay to just sit around and do nothing. And my children, they have been able to bond over the time of being home together. So we are very thankful to be able to just slow down. And I'm thankful that God opened our eyes to that, that it is okay.
Amen. Thank you. You know, it's like I said earlier in this event that it's sort of been an enforced be still order on the whole world. God sort of like stop. Okay. Somebody else? Kathy?
I just wanted y'all to know that while I was in the hospital and I couldn't have my family with me, it was a very scary and trying time. And I had procedures done that I had never had done before that didn't turn out good. But the ladies from our little prayer group that we started on Facebook, I guess it's on Messenger or whatever, the Jesus Girls, they were very instrumental in getting me through it because they prayed for me. They knew I didn't feel like talking or texting, but yet they talked to me. They let me know what was going on in their lives and in the community and in the church. They made me laugh. They asked me questions. They just said, you know, I'm just thinking about you right now, Miss Kathy. And it kept my mind off the sickness, the scaredness, the unsure, and wanting you there, and it just really, I put a lot of weight into getting
it. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. I think your mic went dead. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, that's fine. Michael, thank you for running around. Okay, Miss Aria. Okay. Wow. 70 years.
Not any more germs in this building. It is the grocery store.
That's true. Amen. Amen. Come on back. Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right, Michael, thank you for being Phil Donahue for us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and praise your name and thank you that we can bring our cares and concerns to you. And Lord, we can have the assurance that in spite of whatever is happening around us, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a hurricane, or whether it's some emotional or other event that may not be visible to others, but yet, Lord, we know that it is visible to you and that you love us and that you will care for us. We thank you for that assurance. Open our hearts and our minds this morning to your word. Guide us by your Spirit. And Father God, we pray that indeed we do put you on the throne of our lives. Father, forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are entering, we've been in it actually for a little while, an election year. Big decisions have to be made. And as always, I'm encouraging each of you as the church to make your voice heard, to do what God has called us to do. But beyond that, we have to make daily decisions about who, in fact, is on the throne of our life. I can stand up here on Sunday and tell you Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, but if I go out on Monday and I live with somebody else or something else on the throne of my life, then it brings into question the veracity of my words on Sunday. Do I truly believe, and do I truly put Jesus Christ as number one in my life? It is easy to say that. It is something, again, to do that. Remember, we talked before about Jesus saying, everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of God. Those who do the will of the Father. You know, you can stand, you've heard me say this before, you can stand all day. You can even get you a pallet and sleep in a garage, but it does not make you a car. I can tell you that I am a brain surgeon. I can copy some credentials and hang it on the wall, but you better not let me do surgery. Thank you. So, we know that just because we say something, have you ever followed a politician? They say a lot of stuff, don't they? How much is truth? How much do they follow through with? So, the point I'm making is, just because we say Jesus is number one does not necessarily mean He is. I want us to examine our hearts and our lives today. We're going to be looking at a verse of Scripture, actually a psalm, Psalm 95. And the whole psalm will not be on the board, so you might want to take your Scripture and look at it. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Another passage of Scripture comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and following. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So we see from these verses and others that you could add to that as well, that Scripture is clear that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. He is, always has been, is today, and will forever be King of kings and Lord of lords. Scripture tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. However, that will be at the end. Every knee does not bow right now, nor does every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will be, I suspect, billions of people who will go to hell because they refuse to bow the knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, why do they do that? We could stand here all day and postulate reasons about why man does that. Scripture says that we are stiff-necked, that we are stubborn, and that we are rebellious. I shared before with you guys about eating lunch at Fat Boys Barbecue one day, and there was a family. This was before the pandemic. You could actually fill up all the tables. There was a family over just behind us that had some kids. And this one boy was probably about 7, I would guess, somewhere in there. And he scarfed his food down quicker than anybody else. And he jumped up. Now, I have no idea where he was going. But I guess he was going to go outside, maybe down to the creek. I don't know what he was going to do. But he jumps up to leave the table. And his mom calls him down and says, "Don't go outside." He stops for a second, and he walks to the side door that's going out the side, and she's staring at him like a hawk, and she said, "Don't touch that door." So I'm watching now. I want to see what's going to happen. The little boy walks up to the door, and he puts his hand out. I'm thinking, uh-oh, here we go. He puts his hand out, and he runs it all the way around the doorknob without ever touching it. He's watching her. Yeah, you guys, some of you guys have seen this kind of stuff, haven't you? He's watching her, and she's watching him. He's seeing just how close he can get. Now, he had enough wisdom in his 6-year-old or 7-year-old body that he didn't touch that door. And he finally went and sat down. And we sort of laughed. That's sort of funny. But that's not very funny if we're doing that to God. Because rather than see how close I can get to the edge without falling off, I need to see how close I can stay to Jesus Christ. Because the problem's going to be, you might say, well, if you're saved, you're always saved. And yes, you're right. I agree with you. If you're really saved, then you're always saved. But, number one, if you want to live a lifestyle constantly pushing the envelope, trying to get away, are you really saved? Would be my first concern. And secondly, if you are truly saved, why would you want to see how far away you can get? Why wouldn't you want to stay close? Because close is where the blessings are going to be, amen? Close is where you're going to demonstrate your love for Him. So why wouldn't I want to be close? Why would I want to be away? So three things we want to look at today about who's on your throne. The first thing we need to understand is who God is. Now, we can spend weeks, months, maybe even years answering this question, so we're not going to go into super depth here. But verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 95 says, "For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land." What does that leave out? Nothing. God is the creator and sustainer of all seen and unseen things. This virus that popped up, did it take God by surprise? No. Took us by surprise. It didn't take God by surprise. You know, I'm amused. Almost hardly a year goes by that man does not discover some, and I love this term, some new animal or some new plant. It's new to us, but it's been here a long time. It's not new to God. Because God is the creator. God created you. Now, you know, we have plans for things. Here's some blueprints up here for a new worship center. We plan all kinds of stuff. We draw them out. We go gather materials and we build these things. But it starts in somebody's mind first, does it not? Well, you started in the mind of God. You realize that? Before you drew your first breath, you were in the mind of God. God created you, and He does not make junk. Not only did He create you to have life, but He created you to have a relationship with Him, because ultimately real life is only had in relationship to the life giver, who is God Almighty. And so when we sinned, we separated ourselves from God. So then God not only becomes our creator and our sustainer, but He becomes our judge because we've sinned against Him. But then He can become our savior as we receive the gift of life that Jesus Christ has given for us. He gave His life freely that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many people get to the Father without Him? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And people might say, well, how can it be that exclusive? Why should that even be a question? We don't question other exclusive statements. How many answers are there to the problem 2 + 2? There is only one answer. Now, you might be close if you said 3. You might be close if you said 5. But will that get you a red X or not? Is it still going to give you a red X? 2 + 2 is not 5. 2 + 2 is not 3. And it's wrong. Oh, there's got to be other ways. No, there hasn't got to be other ways. You guys know about the concept of a safe room, right? That you build a room in your house that is impervious to storms and that kind of stuff. And you go into these safe rooms and shut the storm out. Typically, there is only one way in to a safe room. Because you want concrete all the rest of the way around you. So why should we be surprised there's only one way to eternal salvation? Let me ask you, if you were God, would you offer the life of your son if there was some backdoor loophole to allow you in to heaven? Why would his son have to suffer, bleed, and die if you could get in some other way? You can't, and I can't. Jesus is the door, he said. No one enters the fold except through me. God is worthy of all of our worship. He alone is worthy. Now, I wish I could tell you that we only gave God our worship. But if we're honest, sometimes we give other things our worship as well. Sometimes people worship fish. You realize that? You laugh, but I'm serious. They give their life. They spend a fortune on bass boats. And now there's nothing wrong with fishing. I enjoy fishing. But it can be a god. Don't make any mistake about it. Some people run around chasing little white balls on a golf course. That can become a god. There's nothing wrong with the sport of golf. Some people chase all kinds of things. They chase animals we call white-tailed deer. There's all kinds of things. Sometimes it's a sport. Sometimes it's some other recreation. Sometimes it's drugs. Sometimes it's money trying to climb the corporate ladder. You see, it's things that's not necessarily evil in and of themselves, but if that replaces Jesus Christ as number one in our life, then it becomes a god with a little g. And it will distract you and cause you to die just as much as an Ashtoreth pole or a Baal idol. God alone is God. It says that the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. The name given to Jesus Christ in Revelation is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is He, in fact, that in your life? So God is all these things and so much more. You basically have two choices. Scripture says it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So it is up to you whether, it's not going to be up to you whether you die or not, because you are. But it's going to be up to you whether you face judgment clothed in your own righteousness or in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen every time, in every case, no matter who you are. If you face judgment, if you face eternity based only in your righteousness, you will go to hell. There is no exception. The only way to receive the gift of eternal life in heaven is to face eternity clothed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. In a nutshell, that's who God is. He is in control of your next breath, your next heartbeat. Everything about your life is in His hands. To think that we control it is the height of foolishness. And yet, time after time after time, throughout history, and even to today, people think they control their own destiny. I think the only thing different about today versus years ago, is there more evil today? No, I don't think there's more evil today than maybe there ever has been. But I will tell you what I do think. Evil is accepted today. It's accepted. Satan's about that close from having evil to be the norm. Don't think anything about it. Don't bat an eyelash about it. As the world marches straight to hell and Satan is dancing around. Because Satan's not going to win and he knows what's going to happen. The only victory with a little v he can have is the number of folks he can take with him. And he's doing a good job of grabbing a whole lot and bringing them with him. And this COVID pandemic is hurting the church. It's hurting the church. Because they're people that are not hearing the message. The church is not able to touch them because they're not tuning in. Now, when I say the church, I'm not just talking about Liberty. I'm talking about the church universal. They're not hearing the message because people are scared. Fear is the greatest of the viruses. Hear me. Fear is the greatest virus. Now, I'm not saying that there's nothing to COVID-19. Yes, it exists. And people have died. Yes, it is. But the greatest virus is fear. That's the greatest virus. The number of people that have died in hospitals and nursing homes because they, you know, yeah, they may have died from any other number of physical ailments, but part of the problem is they're dying from broken hearts and alone because nobody can be with them. We were not made to live exclusively by ourselves. And part of what Satan is doing is trying to do all that. So this is who God is. Secondly, who are we? Who are we? Now, this is not a philosophical question. Who are we? Number one, we are His creation. God did not create us to be God. Amen? We are His creation. And if we are His creation, we are answerable to Him. We are His subjects. Now, we either are going to be His subjects willingly as we bow the knee now, or we're going to be His subjects at the end when it is made. All of creation is made to bow before Him. It is interesting to me that all of creation acknowledges God except one, man. Man is the only one still in rebellion. And thank God He is long-suffering. I wouldn't have put up with it. My patience is not that long. I'd have called it quits a long time before now. I'd have been like Moses. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. Can you imagine? Think about being in God's position. He just saved the Israelites from years and years and years of slavery and oppression. He opens up the Red Sea. Now, how many of you have seen the sea open up? I mean, this is not something that happens every day. He opened up the Red Sea. A million Israelites cross over on dry land. He swallows up the Egyptian army with the Red Sea. And what do? Moses goes up to the mountaintop to get the commandments, get the covenant. And what do? They mold a golden calf and have a party. I'd have wiped them out then. I'd be like, this is it. I'm pulling the plug. But God is long-suffering. But there is an end to His patience. He will not bear with man forever. And we don't know when the end of His forbearance will come. Don't push the envelope. Don't be like the kid who sees how close he can get to the doorknob. Don't do that. We are His creation. We are His subjects. And we are accountable to Him. I had a professor of organic chemistry, third quarter at Troy. Dr. Ingram, great guy, but he was some kind of organic chemistry professor. And you know, we were far enough up then that he gave us permission. He gave us slack. He didn't ride over us. He said, these are the assignments, and they're due on a certain day. And you know what that means? Because there's something called procrastination. Some folks kept putting it off. I know I got a lab due, but I'll spend extra time in the lab. There was some folks that spent day and night in the lab the day before because they were trying to get all their stuff done because reckoning day came. Dr. Ingram didn't keep reminding us until like the day before, you know your labs are due the next day. And people are freaking out. I don't know when Jesus is returning. It could be tomorrow. It may be 1,000 years. I don't know. But He could call for you tomorrow. He could call for you today. And time is up. There is no redo. We are His creation. We are His subjects. And we are accountable to Him. We are stewards of what He has entrusted us with. Our time, our talents, our money, whatever we have, we are stewards. Now, what's a steward? A steward is someone who does the work, who takes care of stuff for somebody else. And we are answerable to the owner. And the owner is God. Why do you think people in the world make such a big deal about evolution? When you tell them that evolution is not real, it's just a theory. When you tell them that evolution really is a religion, they get all bent out of shape. Why do they do that? Because they understand that if they acknowledge that there is a creator and His name is God and He created everything, then that means we don't own it and we can't do whatever we want to because we are answerable to the one who created it. At the very beginning of this book, in Genesis chapter 1, it says what? It says, in the beginning, God created. Before the beginning, God was here. In the beginning, God created. It is all His from the beginning to the end. We are His stewards. The trouble is we have been in rebellion. I hope we are no longer in rebellion. I hope we have surrendered to Him. But if you are here today and still in rebellion, then I'm going to tell you the only one you are hurting is yourself. Because God loves you, He's died to make a way for you, and ultimately your rebellion is going to cost you eternal life. Because there is no way to eternal life except through Jesus Christ. We are all, each and every one of us, from youngest to oldest, richest to poorest, we are all destined for hell unless we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because Scripture says, all have sinned. That doesn't leave anybody out. All have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Thirdly, It comes down then to what it always comes down to: obedience or rebellion. Our choice. You see, we have a sinful nature. Scripture tells us that we have a sinful nature. We inherit it from our parents, who got it from their parents, who got it all the way up the line from Adam. Blame Adam. But the trouble is, Adam didn't make us sin. We inherited the sinful nature, but we chose to sin. We chose to sin. And when we do, when we did, we rebelled against God. And the wages of sin is what? Death. Eternal death in a place called hell. You see, obedience to God leads to blessing. Rebellion leads to destruction. It's a simple. A five-year-old could understand it. Obedience yields blessings. Now that does not mean that if I'm obedient to God, I will never have any pain or I will never have any problem. That's not what God said. But if we are obedient to God, the blessings of God will follow. And no matter what happens in our lives, we still have the assurance of the presence of God, the blessings of God, the promise of God. And we can say, no matter, like Paul, no matter what happens, it will be okay. And that is a true statement. Rebellion against God leads to destruction. Now there may be, if we're honest, we may see individuals who live like the devil and seem like everything's going all right. And it may, for a season, go all right. Sin looks enticing. Sin looks pleasurable, or we wouldn't be enticed to do it. And for a season, it might feel that way. But ultimately, without fail, sin, rebellion, leads to destruction. Every time, without fail, that is where it will end. You will not escape. You will not be under the radar. There is no, oops, I got out free. No, there is none of that. Rebellion against God leads to destruction, ultimately. And there is no way around that. So you have a choice. I have a choice. We all have a choice. We either ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins as we recognize we're a sinner, that we're deserving of hell. We say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and my life. Forgive me. Give me life. Give me forgiveness. Give me eternity with you. Help me to follow you each and every day. We choose that. And then we choose every day to get up, put on the armor of God, and step out and walk in the light, as He is in the light, to be the people He's called us to be. That's a daily choice. You choose Jesus Christ, and then you choose to walk with Him each and every day. Those of you that have dogs probably don't have any greater frustration than to call your dog and have them go the other way. The only thing worse is to have them look at you and then go the other way. I used to have a little Feist. You guys know what a Feist is, a little beagle mix. And she was a good dog, but she was stubborn and stiff-necked. And we lived in Slapout. You guys know where Slapout is. We lived in Slapout. And Mr. Mercer had a cow pasture across the road. And Prissy, that was her name, Prissy's favorite thing was to go out into the cow pasture and find the freshest cow patty that she could find. You guys know what I'm talking about. And roll in it. And once she did that, she wanted to come back and rub up against me. So I had let them all out of the pen that day, and they were playing in the yard. And when I looked up, Prissy was crossing the road headed to Mr. Mercer's pasture. I stepped out on the porch, and I yelled, Prissy. And about the time she got to the barbed wire fence, she stopped. And she turned around, and she looked at me, And then she put her nose in the air and she turned around and kept going under the fence. I have never been so mad at a dog as I was. I reached behind the door where I kept a BB gun because dogs would get in the garbage. No, it was a pellet gun. It's a pellet gun. And I pumped that thing up, and she had got a few yards away by then. But I lit her up, and she ran back because she understood the penalty of disobedience in that case was getting shot in the rump because what she was doing. I was angry because I'm the master, right? You're my dog. Come when I call you. And she was like, forget you. And we may laugh at that, but that's not very funny if that's what we do to God. God, I know what you said, but that's a problem. And I'm going to be the one that's going to pay the price if I tell God, but I know what you said, but that's dangerous ground. God, I know what you mean, but I think I got this. Oh, no, I don't think we do. Here is your compass point. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice is yours. The time of choosing is now. Father, thank you for your words, for your spirit, for a chance to choose. Lord, help us to choose you before it is too late. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Will you stand, please?
Please stand.
Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your
Amen. Thank you. Don't forget, are we having the Bible study? The women's Bible study is this afternoon in the fellowship hall. What time? 5 o'clock. Ladies' Bible study, 5 o'clock. Social distanced in the fellowship hall. And then Wednesday night, right here, at 6 p.m. or 1800 hours. And bring the remote control. I'm serious. Are we not serious? We're serious. Bring the remote control for that. Next Sunday, Bible journaling. Okay. All right. Anybody else? School starts Tuesday for a bunch of you folks, right? Is that yay or no? No? Trey, what you think, man? Nah, maybe. Okay. Amber says no. Okay. All right. So go out and about this afternoon. Think about the effects of your words and your actions, not just in your own life, but in the life of those around you. I guess we want to make sure we answer the question, do others see Jesus in us, with a yes. I hope so.
All together one more time, leaning, 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 and leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all.